The guest experience is only as good as the people providing it. And even deeper than that, the way you as a leader in the industry treat your employees is how they're going to treat their guests.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers. This podcast is for you if you see business as a tool for making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers. I'll be your host, and one of my biggest passions is learning from businesses who are growing without losing their authenticity. On season two, we're learning about how to thrive in times of crisis as we learn from businesses who have been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. If this is your first time here, my name is Seth Silvers, and we are in the middle of a season talking about how businesses are making it through times of crisis. I think it's so important to hear the stories of what others are doing and how others are being impacted by different crises that are happening. And I think that when we hear people's stories, we are more willing to realize we're not alone. We can ask for help and we can reach out and learn from others and stuff. So today I am with Tyler Hill. I'm going to let him tell you more about himself, but Tyler is a master barista, spoken word master enthusiast, co-owner of Loyal Coffee. He also is, I would say Disney enthusiast, puts it lightly with you.
It's true.
So tell, for those of you that, for our listeners that do not know you or have not met you, tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you, all the things that you have your hand in right now.
Yeah, thanks, bro. And I think first and foremost, thank you, Seth, for just having me on. I believe in you and what you're doing. I also just so radically believe in the power of stories and storytelling, and you know, in a very just, you know, down to my spirituality, down to the way I run my business, down to like, you know, story does really matter. And so you working and working to leverage that on behalf of other businesses and other people is really beautiful. And so I just want you to know, thank you for letting me be on and to be part of this, because it's really important.
Absolutely.
For those of you who are listening, you should go all in on what Seth is doing, because it's good stuff. So thank you, bro.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome. My name is Tyler. I do a lot of things, but currently I'm the co-owner and director of guest experience at Loyal Coffee. I also on the side do hospitality coaching and consulting. And so that's a business I have. It's called Meaningful Hospitality. And I have a podcast called Meaningful Hospitality and do a lot of helping for folks through that. Loyal is a barista-owned and operated coffee company. So what's really interesting about that is it's cooperatively owned by six baristas. So we all collectively own the company and work in various positions throughout the company in order to make it thrive and succeed. And so that's where I serve in my particular role within the collective of us as the director of guest experience. Other than that, I'm married. I have a kid, a one-year-old, and that's just the literal best thing on the planet. We are a Disney enthusiast, and especially Disneyland. While we do love Disney, we love Disney movies and all that, we mostly love Disneyland and the experience that they can create there. I just love that so much. And so, definitely you're not wrong there. You know, we just love living life. We love going to Disneyland. We love, you know, going on hikes and traveling. We travel a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
So how did you, tell us kind of the origin story behind how Tyler Hill ended up starting with five other or six other baristas?
Yeah. So six total.
Yeah. So how did this idea of Loyal come to be? And I think that when I met, we met through about 3,000 mutual friends that we have. I know it's one of the things where it was like, oh, how have we not met yet? And you were still, were you at Wild Goose?
Principal's office.
It was at principal's office. Yeah. It was at principal's office when Loyal was like, it was an idea and you were building it and stuff. So tell us the origin story behind Loyal Coffee.
Well, you know, when I was in college, I was not, you know, involved in coffee or anything like that. you know, long story short, there was this coffee shop that was on my commute to the university. And it was there at that coffee shop that that I learned that different coffees could taste differently. And it was so amazing. And it illuminated my spirit and my heart. I was like, wow, coffee is so cool. And there at that coffee shop was a roaster named Eric. And so I would just ask him all these questions and why and how and all of this he roasted there. And I actually applied to work at that coffee shop 5 times. And while Eric, the roaster there, wanted to bring me on, the owner of that particular coffee shop wasn't having it. And I kept applying. So in the meantime, I just learned as much as I could. And I ended up getting some jobs at some other places. Fast forward a little bit, Eric was asked to help open a specialty coffee shop and cocktail bar called the Principal's Office. And it was in a recycled school building. It used to be an elementary school. And then they refurbished it into a brewery. And
which is amazing. Coffee. If you're in Colorado Springs, go to Ivy Wild and go to the Principal's Office.
And so I got to be on the founding team of that, and I got to help come up with some of the concept and menu design, and I learned all about coffee working there with Eric, and I also really fell in love with cocktails, and I worked at that place for 5, almost 6 years. It was at that place where I really began to see the difference of, like, not the difference, but rather maybe the impact of hospitality and guest experience. And it was while working there I got to see, like, okay, food matters and the, how the coffee taste matters and all of this, but, like, the experience you create for people is really transformative, and it's really impactful. And so that's where I fell head over heels in love and with hospitality, and due to some other life circumstances, they put me into some places where I really got to see the power of an amazing guest experience. So while I was a barista there, we started a think tank, Eric and me and a couple other baristas from around town. We started a think tank to help baristas kind of just work together and get better. And how do we create better experiences? How do we give better hospitality? How do we hire with more inclusive, you know, with more diversity, things like this.
Right.
We just started collaborating and learning from one another. And over time, you know, we really, this kind of rhythm started happening in our conversations where we realized, for one, there was a glass ceiling to some degree when you don't own the thing, right? Mm-hmm. When you don't own it, like, you only have so much power, your ideas can only go so far.
Yeah.
We also realized that, you know, almost all the places we had worked were owned by people who had never worked in the industry before. Meaning they had built experiences and coffee shops and cocktail bars from the perspective of somebody who's never worked in the industry. And so we started longing to say, what would happen if people who had experience in the industry actually built the place? And then on top of that, the narrative in Colorado Springs was really negative in that season. Most of my friends were moving away to Portland or Seattle or Austin or New York or L.A., yeah. It was cooler.
Yeah.
Colorado Springs sucked. And so we're going to go where the grass is greener. And we really felt like there was a lot of potential to say, there's a lot of good things in Colorado Springs. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. There's amazing people. But yeah, it is lacking some art and culture and food and coffee shops. So we said, maybe instead of complaining that the grass is greener somewhere else, what does it look like to water the grass at our feet and create the beautiful thing that we want to see here? Mm-hmm. And so when we really started using that language and adopting that narrative, the counter narrative to what most people in Colorado Springs were saying, we were all in and said, we're going to build something from the perspective of people who have been in the industry and know what works. And we're going to build something that our city deserves. And that's kind of the birth of Loyal. And that think tank, you know, when there's more commitment, you know, some people got scared and panicked and moved away, and right. It kind of distilled itself down to six yeah. people. That's what was left. And we went from there.
That's awesome. So many questions, so many areas of that I would love to dive into. But before we dive into Loyal, you have this little tiny nugget on your website where you say, we believe that you deserve a really good cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Explain that to me. And explain a good cup of coffee. And like there's a lot of education and difference between like what normal people think, not normal people, but what most people think of as like coffee, and like you're taking it to another level. So dive into that phrase a little bit more of why people deserve a really good cup of coffee.
Yeah. You know, the idea of a really good cup of coffee is really subjective, right?
Yeah.
Like what I think might taste good is really different than what you think tastes good.
Yeah.
And so that's a kind of a complicated question for us, because we do take coffee very serious on a molecular level, on a scientific level. You know, we get really nerdy with a lot of these details. One of the problems in the coffee industry, and I think this happens for a lot of people in a lot of industries, so I think, you know, this is really something important to pay attention to, is too often people build experiences, or they build their organizations from their perspective or their area of expertise. So for example, if I built a coffee shop entirely based off of my perception of coffee and what is a good cup of coffee, the reality is there's a lot of people who have not spent the thousands of hours in the industry like I have. So my perspective on coffee is very different than somebody else's perspective of coffee. Coffee shops and cocktail bars especially make the mistake of making their experiences through their perspective, through the perspective of an elite coffee professional whose entire livelihood has been based around coffee. The reality is most of our guests don't see coffee through that perspective. And so what I don't think is that a great cup of coffee is what Tyler Hill really, really loves. And I think it's really important that at Loyal or at any organization, you don't build an experience or an environment only based around what you really love. You have to take the guest's perspective into consideration.
Right.
What a guest perceives a beautiful cup of coffee or a really good coffee to be is not the same thing that I would perceive it to be. And so for me, when I say I believe the guest deserves a really good cup of coffee, that's really through their perspective. And it really is. So what I need to do is work to provide an environment, an opportunity, and an experience where the guest really feel seen, where they feel loved, where they feel heard, taken care of, where they feel like I've anticipated their needs. Because if I thought about them first, then they're going to be significantly more inclined to enjoy that cup of coffee. So the reality is a good cup of coffee is all about the guest, and it's all about them. It's not about how I perceive coffee. It's about how they perceive coffee, and I need to build an experience that values the guest and their perspective instead of mine. So
yeah.
What I want to do is say, so what we try not to do is we try not to make Loyal Coffee a radically pretentious place. And that's a mistake a lot of people make. We could get really nerdy with it, but we try to hide that stuff as much as possible so that we can allow the guests an opportunity to enjoy it. If I distract them with a bunch of details that they don't care about, that they don't care to know,
right,
they're gonna go, there's going to be so much friction that they're not going to be able to just simply sit and enjoy.
If
you want to go there, we'll go there. But we're not going to put that on the forefront of it. So for me, what does a really good coffee of me mean? It means that you're in a place where you feel welcome, where you feel seen, where you feel taken care of, where it's clean, where the music matches the weather outside, where, you know, like so many of these little things where you just feel calm. That's what it really is. It's not about the coffee is the bottom line.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
You want, but that's really not what it's about.
So what are you guys doing differently as far as like a experience wise? Like what are you doing to build loyalty with the people that walk in your door?
Good question. You know, it's entirely about the guest experience, and it's not about the product. You know, and I think the really important thing that you have to consider is that the guest experience does not happen by chance. Hospitality does not happen by chance. I think a lot of times places that try to build an hospitable experience, they simply just think to themselves, if we're just kind and we wing it and we're just really kind, that's going to create a hospitable experience. And that couldn't be farther from the truth, I believe. Kindness matters, and it's a really good thing. But great experiences have so much more intricacy to that than just simply being nice and being kind. There's a big difference between customer service and hospitality. Customer service at its kind of most basic is providing the guests with what they came to enjoy, with what they came to consume from you. And great customer service, you know, they want their product, they want it to be reasonably priced, they want it to be efficient, you know, they want the place to be clean when they get there, all of those things. Those take systems and procedures and a lot of organization and some rules and structure.
Yeah.
For example, I think Taco Bell gives impeccable service. You get what you want, it tastes the same every time, it's reasonably priced, it's fast, you know, it's not that dirty, like you kind of get what you want. But Taco Bell lacks hospitality. I don't feel seen as a human at Taco Bell, right?
Yeah, but you're also not trying to get that. Like you know what your expectations are.
Absolutely. So then you take a place of hospitality where you feel seen, you feel loved, you feel heard, you feel taken care of, right? To some degree, that is an amazing experience. If they remember your name and your kid had soccer practice and they remember all these things. The problem is when a lot of people, and I found this over and over and over in my consulting, is that people focus so much on hospitality, being kind, being nice, remembering names, that they neglect and they lack the customer service. I can remember your name. I can be nice. We can have a wonderful and lovely conversation. But at the end of the day, if you don't get your coffee and if it doesn't taste good, at some point, that kindness and that warm like connection we have can only go so far. The places that have real success are the ones that are able to combine both customer service and hospitality. The ones who are obsessive over systems and procedures. The ones who have a lot of policies so that things are fast, efficient, clean, you know, where things are consistent, they taste good. But the places that work obsess over that, and then they add hospitality on top of that. And they're able to blend both of those things. And so what you see at Loyal is a great experience oftentimes where the baristas compliment the guests, where the guests feel radically taken care of. We bring your drinks to your table and we clear your table and it's clean. And we have the light changes, the music changes as the weather and the lighting outside as the sun goes down. We pay attention to just thousands of details, but those are all a result of systems and procedures and organization. And it's because we spend so much time, I believe, obsessing over these little systems, procedures, and details that our team is able to then be hospitable on top of that. So when the baseline things are all taken care of, our personalities and humanity is able to shine on top of that. Too many places are so behind and focused on the details because they're not organized and efficient on their systems and procedures that they don't have the opportunity to deploy humanity into what they're doing. And so I think what Loyal does different is we on the back end obsess over details. I mean, I'm talking crazy stuff that you wouldn't believe me if I told you we focus on.
Give me some examples.
I mean, like we expect you to take certain amount of steps between one place and another within our space.
Where'd you learn? Was that a Disney trick you learned?
Disney tricks or just like we've all been in the industry a really long time.
Yeah.
Remember, this organization is started by people who have been anywhere between 6 and 10 years. Hmm. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I've studied Disney to the end. Right. You know, but we've also been in the industry and we know. So we expect certain steps between here and there, certain dress code things. I mean, our team members take a class called Loyal Language Class. Like we teach them to how to talk. Like hospitality and guest experience shouldn't be left to chance.
Right.
But way too often when somebody asks me to coach them or consult them and I'll say, okay, like what's your plan? And there's not a plan.
Right.
So we have what we call the 9 touch points, 9 things that we expect every guest to experience from the second they touch our door to the last memory about us. And those are in organized 1 to 9. And yeah.
Do you mind sharing those?
Yeah.
And if that's like internal team stuff, that's
cool. But here's what I'll tell you is that I get cautious. People ask me to share the 9 touch points a lot. But here's what's important to remember is that the 9 touch points are built on the perspective of what Loyal Coffee is trying to offer. And if every coffee shop in America tried to do that, it wouldn't work because we are doing the 9 touch points based off of the perspective of the guests who are in Colorado Springs, who are in our particular neighborhood, who are trying to accomplish the Loyal Coffee goals.
Right.
Bindle Coffee in Fort Collins, where you are, is amazing. I love that. Mm-hmm. But their space is smaller than ours. Yep. They serve different styles of coffee. They have different goals and dreams. If they were trying to apply Loyal Coffee's 9 touch points, it wouldn't work because the environment, the goals, the people, the city, the neighborhood is all different.
Right.
But there's some things that do go back and forth. For example, we ask every team member to compliment the guests. Every guest gets a compliment when they come to Loyal Coffee. Now, we also require that that compliment is honest. So right. I'm not going to tell you, oh, cool hat, if I don't like your hat. But right. I believe that there is beauty in all of humanity that comes into Loyal. And we hire people that have that kind
of. I see
that,
yeah.
Mind, right? And so they can find something beautiful in every guest to compliment.
Right.
And if you can't do that, then you're not a good employee for Loyal and we'll let you go. But it is policy to compliment every guest that walks in.
I love it.
So like that starts the guest experience on the right path, you know, but that's like the third touch point. The first touch point is enter into an excellent environment. And so we have a 2-page document that describes what an excellent environment is. This is what the music should be like. This is what it should smell like. This is what it should sound like.
Right.
Want to ensure that every time that a guest enters into an excellent environment, right? You know, so we have time. It should take this long for a pour over to be done. It should take this long for a vanilla latte to be done. Those are all standards. We're not leaving anything to chance, Seth. Nothing. And that's why it works.
Yeah.
We're not winging it.
Right.
We do.
So I love it. And I love the attention to detail.
Yes.
Then like, let's fast forward to.
Yes.
2 weeks ago.
Yes.
When like this, you know, coronavirus pandemic kind of really comes to fruition. At the time we're recording this, it's yes. March 25th. Yes. And all of a sudden, like your guest experience is drastically limited in stuff. So like what's going through your guys' mind when you realize like, can we even have, I mean, for the first few days, probably like, are you guys totally shut down and just doing delivery?
Yeah, so we're allowed to have guests into our space, but they can't stay, and it all has to be to go. So guests can't sit down and sit at a table, so it's all to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so like when you're talking about we leave nothing to chance, and like you know, for lack of a better term, controlling the details of it, like that was all flipped upside down a few weeks ago. So like, take me into the mind of Tyler Hill and the other co-owners of like, what do you guys? How do you pivot from that?
In hospitality, the number one key, the most important thing is, and I have to be careful like that because, you know, I've cried a lot, honestly, like full transparency, like I've cried a whole bunch. It's been gnarly.
For sure.
An amazing guest experience is only as good as the team members and employees you have that are providing it. And hospitality is only as good as the people that's providing it. And so I think the thing that, if I had to be really honest, even going back to your last question, what makes Loyal Coffee different? You know, we do focus on all of those, and I hope those are some practical things that could help the listeners. But the reality is the guest experience is only as good as the people providing it. And even deeper than that, the way you as a leader in the industry treat your employees is how they're going to treat their guests. And we have prioritized more than anything our not only our guest experience, but our employee experience. What does it mean to work at Loyal? And we do so many fun things and good things and things that help our employees feel seen, heard, loved, taken care of. We try to exemplify hospitality to our team so that they can provide hospitality to our guests. If we can't show them through our example, then it's not going to matter for they're not going to be able to translate that to our guests, I believe. So one of the things that makes Loyal radically different is that. The way our team is treated and the experience they have, all the way from orientation to different, so many things. So the hardest thing, bro, was all of a sudden, you know, about 80% of our business is people coming into the cafe, sitting, having meetings, you know, hanging out with one another. And that's gone. I mean, and we've dropped a significant amount, you know, I mean, almost 80% of sales, you know, overnight. We learned at 8 p.m. that we couldn't have guests in the next morning.
Wow.
Which meant we don't have money to pay our team members. We don't, you know, have capability to do that. One of the things, if you remember, I started in the industry. I was a barista and a bartender. And most people, on truth be told, view people in the industry as kind of the disposable workforce. Like, oh, you should have gotten a college degree, or you should have worked harder, or you should have, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And people for so long have seen people in this industry as disposable. So one of the things we wanted to do in starting Loyal was say, we are not going to treat our team like that. You know, we want our team members to know that they're important, that they're valuable, that they're skilled people, that all of these things, and that they're not disposable. And so all of a sudden, to come into conflict with that, when we don't have money to pay them and we have to send them home, it almost communicates everything that we didn't want to be as a company. And it's awful. It hurts, bro. It hurts so bad. And so the first thing that we were concerned with, and that we still are concerned with, is our employees, and then how do we take care of them? And so, you know, a couple of things that we were just really trying to do is just make sure that we're overly communicating. You know, we've opened up channels. We've sent so many emails over the last few days to them. You know, and the second thing we did is we started raising money to try and supplement their income. And so before I started thinking about my guests, I thought about my employees. Cause I mean, if they don't exist, then I don't have guests either. If I don't have guests, I don't have a company. It's all about those people. And so again, for me, trying to run a company that's obsessed with hospitality, I need to obsess over my team. And so the first thing is just trying to do triage in that world and trying to make sure that they're taken care of. Up to this point, we haven't let go any of our team. But we have obviously significantly cut their hours, and you know, here in a week or two, a lot of them are going to be struggling to get by. And so we're just trying to figure out how we can innovate that and make sure they have groceries, make sure they can get their rent paid. But it's really hard. In terms of taking care of guests, you know, you need to just simply think about what does the guest need. It's not about what Tyler thinks it's right. It's about what does the guest think. So a really simple thing is, one of the principles we use in my coaching and consulting at Meaningful Hospitality is we say we need to put on the shoes of our guests. We need to take our shoes off, put on the shoes of the guest. What that really means is we need to think about the experience through the perspective of the guest. And so we thought, well, guests are probably scared to come in because they don't want to get around the germs or they don't want to get coughed on. So overnight, we developed a text-to-order platform. Overnight. Trying to consider the perspective of our guests. And so guests can drive up, they can text us, we'll make their drink, we'll bring it out. Like we set up those systems in 24 hours because we're trying to think about things through the perspective of the guest.
Right.
You know, we created a hashtag called Loyal at Home because again, we really believe that Loyal is all about the community and trying to connect people. And so we needed to create a hashtag or a way that, we could keep the people connected. We knew people wouldn't be enjoying coffee at Loyal, so we created a hashtag, Loyal at Home, so we could create some sense of connection between all of the Loyal people while they're brewing their coffee at home, not at the coffee shops. So then what we did is we went and we got gift cards from coffee shops all over town, other coffee shops. So Story Coffee and Switchback and Building 3 and Third Space and Peak Place, all these other coffee shops. We got gift cards from there, and everybody who's been hashtagging Loyal at Home, we've been on Instagram giving away gift cards to other coffee shops in town. So you drink Loyal, you be part of the community. We're supporting other coffee shops as well.
Right.
Because we're all in this together.
Which a couple of years ago, you had like and you might still do this, your unloyalty card.
Yeah, we have the disloyalty card. So that's kind of a different version of that. So yeah, every about 3 to 6 months, we do another version of the disloyalty card. And we'll roll another one of those out soon. But yeah, that's just kind of part of our identity and story. But yeah, so we created that hashtag to create at least virtually the sense of community and people.
Right.
Doing something together. So, but you just got to think about things through the perspective of the guest when all is said and done. And that's what it's
totally. So you guys have, I mean, how long ago was it? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. About two. Ish. Yeah. A week and a half, I think.
Okay. So you guys have made it further than most, in a sense of most service related companies. They just, the next day they let everybody off. Mm-hmm. How critical has the experience that you provided for your customers pre-crisis been to helping you guys during the crisis?
I mean, yeah. It's everything. that's the only reason why we're still here.
And I ask that because I think that a lot of business owners aren't, they underestimate the value of like loyalty and experience and stuff when times like this is when you really need to, lean on that.
Yeah. So I think there's two things that really come to mind for me. First is that I think a lot of companies, unfortunately, they try to develop an identity. They come up with language. They come up with a brand, a facade of what they want to be. But when it's all is said and done, what the company actually ends up being is not the same. So there's a lot of lip service or there's a big facade, you know. So for example, Loyal Coffee, we say our purpose, and it's on our mugs, it's on our shirts, everything. We say that Loyal Coffee is our purpose is community by way of coffee. And we, every decision we make in the company, we ask ourselves, are we fulfilling that purpose? And if we're not, we don't do that. We don't do it. We don't make any decisions that don't fulfill that purpose. And because we've been so dedicated to making decisions that ensure community by way of coffee is happening, it actually happens and our guests have identified with that purpose. We could say we're about community by way of coffee online, but if our actions don't fulfill that, then that's not who we really are. It doesn't matter what we say, it's what we do. And because we've worked so hard to actually be who we say we want to be, I believe our guests have completely bought in to that idea. And so we, for the last 3 years, have provided a space for community. We've engaged the community. We've helped other coffee shops get started. We've covered shifts at other coffee shops for baristas who have gotten sick. We've given money away to artists in town. We have the disloyalty card. We do so many things that now when we've asked the community to help us, it wasn't really a question for most of our guests because they already felt part of the community because we actually did what we said we were. And I think what a lot of companies are coming into friction with is they've said, oh, we're about the community or we're about this or that. And now guests aren't identifying with that in this time of crisis because it's not actually who they were. Our guests believe, because it's true, that they're a part of this community. So for us having to ask them to help to donate to our relief fund for our team is a no-brainer for them because they feel part of the community because we've been manifesting that every day since. The other thing is I think guests are scared of losing the experience they have when they're here. This is a once in a lifetime experience that you don't get at other coffee shops.
Yeah, that's so good.
They're desperate to keep it because it's something that they don't experience at other places. Mm-hmm. And so I think the guests realize that we've played such an important role in their life that they don't want to see it go. But the only reason they feel like that, Seth, I can't make this any more clear, is that we've built an experience based on the perspective of the guest. And that's why they feel like they can't live without it, because we've been meeting their needs. We call it the platinum rule, not the golden rule. Most people say treat others how you want to be treated. That's the golden rule. And generally, others, but not in hospitality. Hospitality, we need to treat guests how they want to be treated. And so when they are treated the way they want to come back. They need this place. And so we've created experience not based on what I like, but based on what the guests like. Because we've created that, they know they need it. And that's why they become so loyal, because we work to meet their needs, not our own.
Yeah. So some people are going to be listening to this and they're going to be like, oh, sweet. That sounds great. I'll start that whole hospitality thing once my business opens back up and we're out of this crisis. What would you say to business owners that they're like, okay, that's cool. I dropped the ball and I haven't done that. I haven't created that experience. What can people be doing now to still be creating and building that relationship with their audience?
You need to think about what your guest wants and needs. You know, it's not about you. It's about your guests. Mm-hmm. So your guests are brewing coffee at home right now. So are you teaching them how to make better coffee at home? Like, 'cause that's what they need right now.
Yeah.
So are you doing that? Or, you know, I don't know, like, let's just think of some other industry, like, you know, you got to think about it through their perspective. And so if you're a business owner sitting here panicking, you know, you can't just ask for money. Like, that's not going to work. You need to think about what does your guest need, and then you can go through it from that perspective. And I think the people that are asking that question are the ones that, are the ones that are going to be winning right now. And so, you know, I even think, like, you know, like the NBA is crushed it so far. For example, right away made the game. They were the first one to make their games free. They said people need sports. And so they put all these games for free online. Like, right away they did that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about them making money. It's about what their guests needed or what their clients needed or their fans.
Yeah. And they've been asking people, like, what old games or what old series do you want to see? Like,
I don't know. I'm sure you use this language, but, like, you know, the guest is the hero. They're the important one. Like, what do they need? And abandon your identity to some degree to make them what they need. Like, Loyal Coffee right now, we're going to do anything. Like, if our people need beer, we're going to, by golly, we're going to be a beer company for a few weeks, right?
Yeah.
If they need ground coffee, we're going to do it. So, like, we've, you know, we weren't going to deliver coffee to people's houses locally. That wasn't part of our business plan. It is now because that's what they need. And that's what you do, right? Like,
Bindles started doing that up here. Like, they now have a little Bindle truck, and you put your order in the day, like, the day before or a couple hours before, and they bring it straight to your house, even if it's a $4 order.
Yep. They'll do. I mean, that's what the people need. So abandon your old stuff, like, whatever you thought you were, you're not, because the guests have different needs now. That's just the bottom line. The guests have different needs. It's not about you, man. Hospitality is a radically humbling thing, Seth.
Yeah.
If you're going to be successful in this industry, in guest experience or hospitality, it's not about you. It's about the guest. And so
that's so good.
You've got to think about things through their perspective, not your
own. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's so good. So kind of bringing this to a close, like, just taking it more to a personal level, like, what's Tyler Hill doing to stay sane in the midst of all of this craziness?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, that's a really good question. You know, I've tried to identify, you know, and I do a lot of things. It's been a crazy year for me, bro. Like, my mom passed away recently. Like, I just had a kid. Like, it's nuts. And so this happening is, like, not even the worst of it, to be honest. I've been working.
I saw somebody post yesterday. They said, I just finished my 90-day trial of 2020 and I want to cancel.
I know, bro. Like, it's so crazy, dude. But, you know, I mean, there's a couple things, man. I mean, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I found, you know, just some of my practices that I've used to learn from Jesus and to try and make my life like His, to be radically helpful. You know, I don't necessarily subscribe to tons of, like, traditional Christian tradition as it might seem. But there are a few practices, some of the meditations and some of the prayers and really trying to do that. I've also, you know, as much as crazy as this sounds, like, working to serve other people, whether that's my employees, you know, my wife and I, we've been dropping gin and tonics off on people's porches in the middle of the night or, like, right before dinner time, and just doing, like, hit and run drop, like, in little mason jars. Like, really working to just bless other people, like, especially in times like this, has been something that I think has been really, really good for me as well. Is, like, you know, like, I believe just deeply when you're serving others, like, you know, it's just so much better for you, and it can help build up and open up your heart. You know, something like taking care of other people is a muscle that you need to flex in order to learn how to use it more. And so for us, we're saying, okay, like, the time is, it's obviously everybody needs help right now. Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs love. It's the easiest time. No matter what you do, you're going to win if you do something nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, for us, it's just totally. like just wing it, dog. Like, do something.
Yeah.
And so we've just been trying to do more nice things because, you know, we believe that kind of fills us up. So yeah, spending time meditation and in prayer and serving the poor. Like, you know, we've just been working out of the food kitchen, and it's not to make me sound like a saint. It's just, it's what we've been doing, is just really trying to make sure other people are taken care of and finding something in that. And, you know, when things are extreme, this is the last thing I'll say. When things are extreme, at least in my own life, I found that I tend to take things to the extreme. So maybe I drink more coffee, or I drink more beer and whiskey, or, you know, I get less rest because things are extreme, so I got to work harder. When things are extreme, we tend to do more extreme things. Center yourself, find your rule of life, find your rhythm. Just because things out there are extreme doesn't mean your own life needs to be extreme. And so I've worked really hard to find my own rhythms, my old rhythms, the things that have generally made me healthy. And I've tried not to do that. There's a lot of downtime in the cafe where I'm at right now. It's way easy to drink 3 extra cups of coffee. That's not good. I'm getting home a little early because we cut down hours. I could drink 2 extra cans of beer, but that's probably not best. So trying to find, not to take extreme measures in an extreme time, but find my regular rhythms and my regular rule of life will also keep me healthy. And I'm finding that that's been very helpful.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So I appreciate that so much. And I think that it is so important for, like, if a business owner or a leader isn't centered in this time, then there's no, it's not even possible to be able to like lead others in that way. So I think that's honest, huge.
My team members have seen me cry. I've told them that I'm scared. I've told them that I'm nervous. I'm not faking it. You know, I'm honoring my team members' humanity in that. And that's something I think works as well. Faking it is a burden that's way too hard to bear. Dishonesty is a burden that you can't carry very long. So being honest with your team, being honest with your spouse, being honest with your partners, like, that's a really important piece to this as well.
Totally. Yeah, I absolutely, absolutely agree. And I hope everybody hears that and takes it to heart. Last parting words, what would you, just an encouragement to other business owners that are struggling in this time before we head off?
Man, I think first of all, like what you're experiencing right now is not a reflection on you as a person. There's a significant amount of this that's out of your control. And it's not a reflection. Some of the failures you might be experiencing, some of the fear, the doubt, is not entirely a reflection on your leadership or your ability to succeed or how good or bad you are as a business owner or a leader. There's a significant amount of this that is radically out of our control. And so don't let what's out of your control bring detriment to your identity. You know, your identity is rooted in things way more than things that you can't control. And so don't give the circumstances that you can't control too much power.
Yeah.
You're still an important person. You have value. Even if your business closes, I've had to talk about that to myself in my own, you know, times, alone time too.
Right.
If this thing shut down, like, I'm still Tyler and I still have value. I can still be a great dad. I can still be a great husband. I can still be a community member, even that. And so it's called into questions to some degree. What do I even believe about myself? Have I given too much of my identity? And so what is out of your control isn't controlling you. And so find some solace in your integrity and in your honesty, and how you act right now says a lot more about your legacy than whether or not your business succeeds or fails. Who you are matters way more, and what is outside of your control is not indicative of that.
Yeah, that's so good. Thank you. Thank you for that encouragement. I appreciate that. And I think that this, I hope that our listeners will begin to just realize like the importance of that guest experience and stuff, so that hopefully we can all, one of the ways, yes, I'm sure people will be more aware of building up reserves and different things like that in preparation for if something like this happens.
Oh, yeah.
But hopefully one of the ways that people are more aware coming out of this is, man, I have to have a relationship with my audience and I have to be serving them from their perspective and stuff. So thank you so much for being here, for showing up, for sharing your story, for being vulnerable. What is the best way if people are like, man, I gotta enjoy Loyal at Home.
Yep.
Like, what's the best way for people to find you, to support you in this time?
Yep. If you go to loyalcoffee.co, loyalcoffee.co. You can do two things. You can order coffee online. We'll ship it anywhere. Also on that website is a virtual tip jar where you could tip our employees, and 100% of that goes right to our team members. So loyalcoffee.co, we can mail coffee anywhere in the world. And if you want to do that, or if you simply just want to support, throw a few bucks in that tip jar online, that goes right to the employees, not to rent, not to overhead. It goes right to their pockets. So that'd be, two ways you could help us right now.
Awesome. I encourage all of our listeners, go and do that. And, also like do the same for your local coffee shop, like the local coffee shop that you guys love. If you're not in Colorado Springs, just like make sure you're showing some extra love to the businesses that you love. Don't assume that they know that you love them.
Yeah.
Like show them.
Don't leave it to chance. Just like in the guest experience, don't leave that stuff to chance.
Totally.
Take control of it all.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Tyler. We'll see you next time.
Got it.
Do you want to grow an online brand that is profitable and authentic? Do you know that you have a ton of great ideas for content that you want to create, but you need accountability and strategy? Do you want to grow online, but online marketing just seems overwhelming? If your answer is yes to any of these questions, then I want to personally invite you to join our private marketing community, successwithstories.com. Success with Stories is the premier community for purpose-driven businesses committed to growing online by marketing with stories. Inside of successwithstories.com, you will learn how to create online content that converts, how to build a connection with your audience that outlasts any crisis, and most importantly, you're going to learn how to grow your business in a way that feels authentic to you. So, for a limited time, we're giving you access to our community for 50% off. What? It's true, for 50% off. Now, you might be asking why. And the reason is because, honestly, right now in 2020, things are a bit crazy and unpredictable for all businesses. And so we think it's really important to show you how you can build a crisis-proof online brand. So head to www.successwithstories.com to join Success with Stories today. Don't wait another day. We'll see you inside of Success with Stories.